We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. As I'm attempting here beginning in February is to follow along with the Bible reading challenge that we are doing as a congregation as we are reading the entire book of 1 Peter over 105 days. So 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2 this morning. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, the first word in this, in chapter 2, is interesting. If everybody could say the first word with me, please. Therefore. Therefore is an interesting word. You've heard me say it before. If you haven't heard me say it before, please find this funny. If you have heard me say it before, please laugh. But every time you see the word therefore in Scripture, there's a question you need to ask. And that question is, wherefore is the therefore therefore? Thank you. Okay. Wherefore, why is it there? What's the purpose of the word therefore? Well, the purpose of the word therefore is to connect with what has been said before. Right? So when you ever read a verse that says therefore, you want to understand what the background context of it was first before you understand what he's saying now. So of course, what did he say before this? Before this, he was in chapter 1. And as he was writing chapter 1 has three main themes that work all throughout. And the main theme is salvation through Jesus and his word. Those are the three things all throughout chapter 1, is salvation through Jesus and his word. So if you back up, you can look at what he says in verse 10. He says, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied in the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ, there's the theme of Jesus, so we have salvation and Jesus, within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. We skip down to the end of the chapter where he says, for you have been born again, not of seed, our salvation again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. There he's focusing on the word. Verse 24, for all flesh is like grass and all its glory, like the flowers of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. So you see the theme that he has in chapter 1 is all about the idea of salvation. And it's all about the idea that salvation is through a person by the name of Jesus. And if you caught that Jesus himself, it was the Spirit of Christ that actually predicted his own sufferings through the prophets in the Old Testament. That's just a powerful concept. I can't get past that idea that Jesus predicted his own sufferings through the prophets. So it wasn't like all of a sudden Jesus just appeared and it just happened. Jesus himself predicted his own suffering, which shouldn't be a surprise to us because Jesus has been there from the very beginning, right? Nod your heads. Yes, he's been there from the very beginning. Colossians 1, in him all things hold together. Through him all things were created. In the Gospel of John, it was through Jesus that he created all things. At the end of Matthew, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so this whole idea of Jesus, if there was ever something that we were ever going to focus on as a church, and if you asked me what three things do your church focus on, the top three things, it would be Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus. Because even when you get into the idea of the Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit? Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying and he says, Father, I won't be with them any longer, but we're going to send who? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with them. So what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. It is the Spirit of Christ. It is basically, as I like to say, it is Jesus without a body. That's what the Holy Spirit is. So we have this focus on Jesus, salvation, and the word. Now you see his main focus here at the end in chapter 1 is all about the idea that all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off. That's the whole idea of physical and spiritual. The whole idea is that everything we tend to focus on, we naturally focus on, is the physical. Which is what? Which is going to go away. It's not going to be here. It's a very small blip on the radar, if you will. James says it's just a mist. Your life is just a mist that appears for a little while and then it's gone. When you think about eternity and you think about the eternal perspective and you think about how long eternity is versus the time span of your life, it is extremely small. Jesus said this to the disciples in the Gospel of Luke when everybody was adorning admiring the temple and how it was adorned with all the stones. And Jesus, this is a Chad paraphrase, Jesus said, what are you guys looking at that for? That's all gonna be burnt up. Everything's going away. All the physical is going away. All of it's going away. You're going to go away. All physical is going to go away. Everybody's going to die. Everything we see is going away. Isn't it amazing how we put so much stock in stuff that's going to eventually go away? Anybody here ever get a warranty on anything? I'm not sure how to ask this one. Anybody here ever have a positive experience with a warranty? Because you know what's interesting is a lot of the times we do have a couple of hands, so there's a few things that are good. But you know, almost every warranty I've ever had, somehow what goes wrong, the warranty doesn't cover it. No matter what. It covers bumper to bumper, but it didn't cover this part because that's part of the disclaimer. If you would have read that, you would have understood that it really doesn't cover that part, even though you have a warranty. I had a friend several years ago. Anytime he was buying a product, and it didn't matter what product he would buy, this was one of those times where his wife would walk away. His wife would even say, oh, please don't, and she would just walk away because he would take care of it. Because anytime they got to the idea of the warranty, whether it was a vehicle, or he talked about a vacuum sweeper he got one time, anytime they said, would you like to pay this much extra to have a warranty? He would say, if you're selling me a piece of junk, just tell me right now. Wow. Why, what was he saying? What's the purpose of a warranty? If you can't back what you're saying, why do I have to pay extra for you to back or support what you're selling me? That's what his idea was, right? Now, warranties, there are some things called lifetime warranties, right? Has anybody ever experienced a lifetime warranty which actually turned out to be not a lifetime warranty? It's really amazing, isn't it? Or have you ever had a 30-day money-back guarantee which really wasn't a 30-day money-back guarantee? Because the fine print basically said it wasn't a 30-day money-back guarantee, or it said it wasn't a lifetime warranty. You see, those are the type of things that are temporary. Why do we need warranties on things? Why is that? Because everything we get is temporary. It's not going to last. Eventually, it's going to go away. And he says, all physical is like grass, and it's going to go away. But what is it that stands forever? He says at the end of verse 25 of chapter 1, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you, which, man, this is really powerful when you get into that idea, that concept, and some of you have heard me talk about this already. I just find this so exciting. If it is his word that is going to endure forever, and we understand that Jesus is the word according to the Gospel of John, but we also understand that the scriptures that God has blessed us with is what? It is the word of God. What you're holding in your hands and reading or on your tablet or your phone right now is actually the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and it is given to us by God, which means it's alive. The Bible is alive. So I, the first time I ran across this passage years ago, I couldn't help but just wonder. I wonder if in heaven we're still going to be studying the Bible. Wouldn't that be something? See, because the problem would be this. If you would find that as a drudgery, there's an issue. Because why are you doing it now? If I'm studying the Bible, why am I studying the Bible? Well, I don't like studying the Bible. I hate studying the Bible. I can't stand doing it. Can't stand opening it up. Can't stand devotions. Can't stand Bible studies. Can't stand sermons. But I'll sit through them and I'll go through them. Why? I don't want to go to hell. So I'll do what I have to do. But what if it was something like, I'm reading something that's alive because God is actually speaking truth into my life and I can't get enough of this so that when you get into eternity, I wonder if it would be something to the effect of let's keep doing this instead of, whew, glad that's over. No, see, the word of the Lord stands forever. What he breathed stands forever. So that gives us the background before we get to the therefore. So now he says, this is what he's saying. Because of the salvation through Jesus, and because the word of the Lord is going to stand forever, and because of everything else physical is going away, then verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Now let's just stop there for a moment. Did you notice a key word there? All. He doesn't have a disclaimer. He doesn't say, put aside all malice except for, put aside all deceit except for, put aside all hypocrisy except for, put aside all envy except if you're in that one situation, I can understand it. It's okay, you can be envious, it's not a big deal. And all slander except for what so-and-so did to you, you should be able to get them back and you should be able to slander them back. No, there's no comma, there's no disclaimer, it's just all. Putting aside all. Isn't it something that isn't even the main object of what he's saying? You see the idea here, you would think that the main object of what he's saying is we need to fix your behavior, so put this aside and put this aside and put this aside. No, that's just kind of like he's saying, okay, putting aside this, I'm going to lead up to the most important thing in a moment is what he's saying, but just putting aside. So it's kind of like an understood thing. It's kind of like an implied thing of understanding that you're going to put these things aside, right? Similar to us as parents. Have you ever done that with kids when you're giving them instructions? Sometimes giving them instructions, you just don't say, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do this. It's just kind of like, since you're not going to do this, because I know you would never even think about it, it would never happen. About a little over a week ago, I went to the 30-hour famine and I was with the teens. And I made it. Even though Joe and I, the other chaperone, we were planning a prayer meeting around midnight. We were gonna run out real quick and come back, but we didn't. We stayed, and it was a good time. It was fun, I really started showing my age when you're bowling and it's midnight. They took the teens bowling, and we're out there at midnight, and we don't get back till about 12:30 or so. We're not getting into bed till about 1. And one of the things that's amazing is the room that we slept in, which from now they're going to fix, but the room that we slept in has the sensor lights that we didn't really think much about. But just about every hour, bing, the lights came on as we were trying to sleep. So we didn't get much sleep. But there was one child who spoke up, one kid that was there who spoke up, and right before we were getting to bed, it's 1 o'clock and I'm done. The other chaperone, all of us, we're pretty much done. Everybody's done, let's go to sleep. He goes, oh, by the way, I just need to tell you, I do snore. I immediately said, without even thinking, no, you don't. Not tonight. It is not gonna happen. It's similar to what Paul is saying. He's not giving an option. He's not telling you, put this aside and put this aside. He's saying, since we know you are already putting aside these things, then this is what your focus should be. So the first challenge here is, if there's any of this in my life, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, I need to change it into something else. Now, what does he say to change this into? Verse 2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. We're back to the word again, remember, which is eternal, which endures forever. So that by it, you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, an interesting analogy that he makes there. He says, as newborn babes... Newborn babies. Anybody here ever been a newborn baby? You know, it's funny how we forget about that, right? You know, all of us were, right? If you weren't, I'd like to hear your story. That'd be an interesting story to hear. But I remember... we're in the Ukraine for an adoption, and we're bringing back Nick at the time, and 17 months, was that right? Did I get that right? Okay. She's just going to nod her head and say, yeah, just keep going. But yeah, it was about 17 months old. We get on the plane to come back with him after we were there for 3 weeks. We had the passport and everything we needed and got all that worked out. And then we get on the plane and Nicholas is sitting there with us. And the first thing that happened was I made a mistake. I kind of sat down without paying attention, which, as you guys know me, I'm a klutz and I do that often. And all of a sudden, Nicholas just screams. And I'm thinking, what's he screaming about? I didn't sit on him. And he's sitting on Miranda's lap. And Miranda goes, you're on his foot. And I was, oh, sorry. So Stan, you know, everybody's been on a plane. You understand how easy that is to do, right? Right? Thank you. Give me something here. So then we're sitting there, and this businessman, nothing against business. If you're here and you're a businessman, that's fine. I love businessmen. Businessmen are great. They're tremendous. You're wonderful. You do a great job. But this businessman comes on, very sophisticated, walks in with his case, has glasses, and notices Nicholas. He notices there's a child on the plane. He gives us one of these. Because what was he thinking? I'm going to travel the whole ocean. I'm going to travel over the entire ocean with this noisy kid. And I remember Miranda whispering to me. She said, they do exist. It's funny how we forget, don't we? Right? That every one of us was at one point. Somehow babies and kids at times can get on our nerves, but we were all there too, right? And usually it's always fun to hear the parents talk about how bad we were in comparison to the frustration that we are having, so that we can actually understand that all of us were. Now, I remember hearing horror stories about infants when you bring them home from the hospital and hearing about no sleep and that type of thing. And I remember when Grace was born and Miranda and I were there, the first one. And I remember we were there for, I think, maybe 1-2 days. I don't remember exactly. And I just remember how quiet she was. She was just so gentle and quiet. I mean, even when she cried, you could barely even hear it. And I'm saying to myself, what is all these other parents complaining about? No sleep and everything. Then we went home. Something about the acoustics in the home were a lot different than the acoustics in the hospital, because it wasn't the same sound. It wasn't the same all of a sudden it turned into it's like, what is that? Did that just come out of her? Where did that come from? Forget about sleep, forget about everything. Isn't it amazing they come home and just all of a sudden they're free? They experience the freedom, I guess. They're not putting on the show anymore. Now it's time to just let it rip, right? So of course, you know, there's always signs when you're around a baby and what they need at the time, and most mothers, they figure this out. I never could figure this out, but I always heard mothers say this. That sounds like a tired cry. I'm going, all I hear is a cry. That's a hungry cry. All I hear is a cry. I can't tell the difference. I remember the one time when Miranda had left me home and I was with Grace. It was one of those times she was able to go out, and I could not get Grace quiet no matter what I tried, no matter what I fed her, no matter what I put in her mouth. Nothing worked. But have you ever seen one of those swings? You know, those swings you put them in? You know, you have like super high levels on those things? It worked. I mean, she was scared to death, but she didn't make a sound. Right? But you know what? What's funny is it's always amazing to me when you have a child like that and they're crying because they're hungry. It's the hunger cry. And all you have to do is just put that bottle in their mouth and they stop. That's it. Then you take it out, they cry more, put it back in. Right? Now, they invented the whole pacifier thing, which we tried, and you may have tried as well. And that worked for some time until the kid goes, wait a second. I'm not getting any food out of this thing. Now, I wonder if there's a spiritual aspect to that, that if spiritually we are crying because we are spiritually hungry, I wonder if there's a way to stop the crying. Wouldn't that be something? Right? How many of you have ever been accused of being a baby when you were older than being a baby? Yes. Now, what are you saying? Well, you're acting like a baby. You're not acting your age, right? So spiritually speaking, what does it mean to act your spiritual age, right? So what Paul's getting at here, what Peter's getting at here is the idea of that as newborn babes, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to long for the pure milk of the word. That the only thing that's going to satisfy me is the word, the eternal word that's going to go forever. The only thing that's going to satisfy your spiritual life is his word. That's the only thing that's going to keep you from whining like a spiritual baby. It's the only thing that's going to stop it is his word. You know, there's many different things you can try. There's many things, you know, if you're going through a dry time spiritually, or you're going through a frantic time in your life, or an anxious time in your life, or a worrious time in your life, whatever it might be, or a difficulty or a trial, you can go through that and you can try so many different solutions to try to fix your problem, right? We definitely live in a world today that tries to fix everybody's problem, because you can find a book on every issue. You can find a book on every problem that's going to tell you what the solution is, what the answer is. This is what you have to do. 10 steps to get out of this. 10 steps to fix this. 10 steps to do that. 3 ways you can fix your marriage. 5 ways to fix your home. We have it all over. But what Peter is saying, all of this malice and envy and deceit and hypocrisy and slander, all of that is being put aside because, like newborn babes, you are longing for the pure milk of the word. Now, I know it seems very simplistic, but when you look at the scripture, it's very clear. It's like, you know, whatever it may be, getting into his word is the solution. Now, it may not seem like that, and even during the time when you're doing it, it may not seem like it's fixing anything, but that is what the solution is, like newborn babes. And how does a newborn babe long for the pure milk? That a newborn babe is crying because it's desperate. It must have it. And you've heard this before. If you go if you miss a meal, you get a little hungry. You miss a day, you get hungrier. You miss a couple days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, a week, a month, 2 months. How long can you last without eating? And it's the same thing with his word. How long can you last spiritually without getting into his word and reading and studying his word? Because his word is it. His word is where the answer is. So I want you to think about that today in your own life. And I want you to think about, what priority do the scriptures have in your life right now? In this very moment, what priority do the scriptures have? For example, you could be here today and you could be saying, you know what? I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm worthless. I have no reason to exist. There's no reason for me to even be here. What does the scripture say? You were fearfully and wonderfully made. There's a contrast there, right? One's right, one's wrong. You know how often in my own life, how many lies I hear in my head over and over again that tell me things, convince me of things that aren't even close to true, but somehow I have a way of talking myself into ridiculousness. And the only answer to get out of that is through his word and through his scriptures. So whatever you're challenged with today, whatever you might be thinking about yourself, whatever you might be thinking about your situation, whatever you might be thinking about God, maybe you're here today and you wonder if God even exists, or does he even care, does he even love me, or is it even true? Whatever it may be, the challenge is to take whatever that is to his word, filter all the thoughts that you have through his word, and then see where it is. Then see where the truth lies. Then see what is actually true compared to the lies that are filled, that your head can be filled with. I am convinced that that is one of Satan's greatest strategies, if I can get them, if I can get him, if I can get her to believe all this junk, then everything will be fine. And every single thing he says can be counteracted with what his word says. I remember hearing a friend of mine use this illustration before, and he said he was driving past a church one day. It was a church building, parking lot. People were filing in, getting ready to go in for the service. And he said it was a horrible sight. It was just a horrible sight. Because he said the people were so weak, they could barely even open their car door. They couldn't even stand up to get out of the car. They had to fall down and crawl in to the service. And then they started helping each other in, and some of them weren't even able to make it to the door. They had to stop and take a break. And some were able to make it into the sanctuary and get up to the front and get the food that they needed so that they could be strengthened for that week. What was he saying? He was saying these people came to church Sunday after Sunday, and the only spiritual food that they longed for and they were desperate for, they received on Sunday during the service. And if that's any of us, then we're weak. And the only way we can be strong is when his word is the main focus of our walk with him. And I'll put this out there again. I've asked this question a couple times, but how much do you think Jesus would want you to be in his word? That would be like saying, wives, how much would you want your husbands to love you? Husbands, how much would you want your wives to love you? There really isn't. There isn't a graduation type of a thing. There isn't a, well, this is enough, and there really isn't enough. It is impossible to be in his word too much. He's blessed us with it so that our lives can be guided according to what he has to say and not according to what we say. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth, and for everything that you mean to us. And Lord, we ask today that there would be a revival among us back to your word. And that, Lord, every single one of us today would commit to getting into your scriptures and your word more than we ever have, because we know that that is the only answer and that that is the only solution for everything we're facing in our life. Is Jesus and what he has to say to us through his word. Go beyond what I've attempted to explain today, Jesus, and speak to each and every one of us exactly what it is that we need to hear. We ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.